WBZ H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Rescue crews are combing through the damage left behind by a series of severe flash floods in central Texas. Over 40 people are still missing throughout the Texas Hill Country, and at least 80 people have been confirmed dead. Reagan Brown and his parents were able to escape the floodwaters and save some of their neighbors in the town of Hunt.
They were able to escape up the hill, and they got word of their neighbor being stuck in her attic, so they went over and rendered aid and got her out. She's 92 years old.
More rain is in the forecast for the region for later today, sparking fears of additional flash flooding. President Trump has signed a major disaster declaration. The president is also scheduled to meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu later today. It comes as Trump has been touting a potential ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas amid the ongoing war in Gaza. Indirect talks between Israel and Hamas have been taking place in Doha, Qatar, in recent days. This is ABC News.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents about a helpful tool for fishing enthusiasts across the state. The Wisconsin Fishing Finder is an online resource that can help anglers find good fishing spots with an interactive map of the state's lakes, streams, and rivers. When residents use the map to select a body of water, it will provide them with information on what fish can be found there and what regulations are in effect. It also contains helpful information on preventing the spread of invasive species and the locations of boat launches. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced a court order to stop the Trump administration from blocking access to public health and social service programs. The multi-state lawsuit filed in May sought to block Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy from eliminating more than a dozen agencies and firing 10,000 employees. The coalition argued the changes immediately endangered lives and left crucial systems in chaos. The cuts would have affected the CDC, Center for Tobacco Products, and the Office of Head Start. The Town of Cable Board is advancing plans to use Vibrant Spaces grant funding to turn a vacant lot into green space for the community. The project would see the former Cable School property turned into green space, with additional plans for a pavilion or band shell where the school building used to stand. The town received a $50,000 Vibrant Spaces matching grant from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation for the project. The $50,000 needed for the matching grant is expected to come from a number of local business sponsors. Ashland County officials say the tourism industry saw a slight dip in 2024 despite most other counties in the state seeing strong growth. According to the Ashland Chamber of Commerce, the overall economic impact generated by tourism in the county dropped from $66 million in 2023 to $65 million last year. Direct visitor spending as well as local and state tax collection also saw slight drops last year. County officials say tourism is still a major part of the local economy, and the industry did see a slight increase in total labor income. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers are back in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports baseball. It's the Brewers and the Dodgers tonight in Milwaukee to kick off a key three-game series. Freddie Peralta, just named to the All-Star game, will start tonight. The Brewers with a 3-1 win yesterday in Miami. Pitcher Brandon Woodruff got the win, holding the Marlins to just one run in six innings. Pat Murphy wasn't sure if Woodruff was ready.
His velo and his other stuff, it didn't indicate like, oh, this guy's going to go six today. But he located it well. And then the second inning, he was better. Third inning, better. Fourth inning, better. Fifth inning, better. It was like, wow. And he said, I'm coming to the end here in between the fifth and the sixth. And he went out in the sixth, and we had guys up in the pen, and it was great.
Woodruff says there's nothing like pitching in the big leagues.
You can't replicate anything that you want to in the minor leagues to get you ready for the big leagues. You just can't. You need to get in this environment. You need to get back out on that major league mound, and that take care of everything.
That's Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high today right around 80. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Our low 59. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with again a few more scattered showers and thunderstorms at a high near 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Shaking out the cobwebs after the long holiday weekend. It's a Monday morning, July 7th, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson's in Madison Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is back and will be here as well. And coming up this hour, we'll talk a little bit about podcasts and TV streaming and live music. And we return you to our regularly scheduled trade war already in progress now that we're done talking about Trump's bloated boondoggle of a budget bill. So all that and more. Brandon Woodruff, his triumphant return to the pitching mound for the Milwaukee Brewers. All that and more coming up. But of course, Brittany Merlot is back from the holiday weekend. Hi, from the holiday break. And, you know, with a very pleasant day ahead for a lot of us here. Brittany, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was pretty relaxing. It was nice and comfortable. I kind of liked that rain over the weekend, kind of cooled us down as that front moved through. A little relaxing. How was your weekend?
Well, Parker would have a different opinion on the rain.
It was cooling.
And it was cool. He was actually cold from being soaked in the rain.
I was freezing, Brittany.
He was working a Mallards, working a Madison Mallards game, weren't you?
Yeah, Mallards game, and then it just downpoured. All like snap your fingers and it was downpouring, and I was dripping wet, and then had to stand outside for like another 2.5 hours.
Oh yeah, that's pretty miserable. I'm sorry about that, Parker.
It's okay.
I'm sure a lot of us got caught though.
Nobody's gonna be talking drought for a little while here.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, we are not. And we've got a beautiful day ahead of us. Honestly, this week looks fantastic. So a high pressure system is in place. It's moved in right now. Plenty of sunshine across the state. There was some patchy fog this morning, but that's even clearing up here. Temperatures up north in the mid 40s, down south in the upper 60s. And today's highs will rise to the upper 70s statewide. Some mid 80s are expected far southwest, and then some upper 60s closer to the Great Lakes. Obviously, you stay much cooler there. Otherwise, we're staying dry today. We do have a low pressure system that moves in tomorrow, so we could hear some rumbles of thunder overnight, maybe some light rain as you wake up tomorrow morning, and then some more storms could spark up tomorrow afternoon. But none of those should be crazy strong or severe or anything like that. But those are expected on Tuesday, and then we dry things out for the rest of the week with another system headed our way in the weekend. But overall, gosh, they're going to be very comfortable temperatures. That humidity is much less. Honestly, it's like San Diego weather.
Ooh.
Now,
yes, that's high praise right there. That's why I took the top down off the Jeep. I was like, okay, I can dodge, you know, I can avoid running errands when the pop-up stuff hits and just get to enjoy it the rest of the time, because you can't drop the top on the Jeep in the wintertime.
Or you can't.
Basically,
I mean, you could.
Not for a good reason.
10 months out of the year. Yeah, do not recommend. Right. So I'm going to literally ride this forecast as much as I can. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you in the next hour.
Sounds good.
Always a reminder that you can sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, where today there's a link to my article on the winners, losers, and liars as part of the Trump budget bill. And also some of the Wisconsin towns that look like they were taken right out of a storybook because of the unique architecture there. So sign up again, upnorthnewswi.com. Quick reminder that on Thursday, our guest will be Congressman Mark Pocan. No doubt we'll have a lot to say there about the budget debate and where we go from here. So again, Congressman Mark Pocan on Thursday. Let's see, from Rob in Tigerton, good morning. Partly cloudy, 58 degrees. I hope my favorite morning people had an awesome 4th of July weekend. I mowed a yard Friday, then watched a full day of McHale's Navy. Wow, that's a deep cut. Channel 11.2 in Green Bay. He watered flowers at Main Street Tigerton, went to Clintonville. Yesterday, went to wash his car, Molly, in Wittenberg. Let's see, I think he's got a couple of other notes here as well. Yesterday, I saw traffic on Highway 45 busy. Trucks and campers going in both directions from people coming from up north and people going to the Hodag Music Festival in Rhinelander. He says, welcome back to Brittany. And in Tigerton, 1.1 inches of rain Saturday through Sunday morning. He's got mowing jobs in Wittenberg today. The grass is growing fast with all the rain and the humid weather that we've been having lately. No vacation for me. It will be busy mowing lawns, and he will earn his money for a vacation. Whereas Kristen took hers this last week. She and Craig did. What was the unique bike ride that you guys did while you were out in the Boston area?
We did the midnight ride of Paul Revere. Wow. We rode from Boston out through Lexington to Concord, and it was, we knew that it was like a historically important ride, obviously, but that was the British are coming, the British are coming path on the 4th of July.
That's nice. Kinda cool. And I feel bad for like anybody that lives along there because, I mean, you have to do it, right? You know, if you're living there, here come the tourists again, and they're saying, the British are coming, the British are coming. Like they hear that all the time.
Well, it's a bike path, and right, so many people were using it. We just kept commenting how great it was because it was, part of it was urban, part of it was very rural, but part of it was urban. So people were clearly commuting, and there were families out and lots of kids and bikes and strollers. And it reminded me so much of the Fox River Trail or the Capital City Loop, where families have a place to go to be able to get from point A to point B, or just maybe enjoy some of the local natural beauty.
It sounds great. I mean, maybe a few too many miles for my liking, but you know, you and Craig are pros at this by now. 130 miles is a slow weekend for you guys, you know?
Oh my gosh, we did a trail in New Hampshire that went along the presidential mountain range. So there's Mount Washington and Jefferson and Madison. And so there's this rails to trails. And it started off pretty benign, but then it got pretty rustic. We got a few ticks.
Oh, did you? Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't forget your bug spray, friends. Ticks are a big deal.
I have not had that that happen yet, and thank goodness. You just, when you said the presidential range, I had to look it up quick. I'm like, God, did I tell me this was just a dream late last week? No, it wasn't a dream. The New York Times actually had a story about whether there is room to put Donald Trump on Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
And I just caused some people to throw up a little in their breakfast, and I'm very sorry about that. But yeah, let's can we keep the presidential range unspoiled, as it were?
All of these things that sound like a joke are not a joke, and that's one of the weirdest things. Yes. Like, what is a caricature when caricatures are real?
That's exactly where we're at. So when you were in that area around the Revolutionary War, you and Parker were talking during the break about podcasts, and that there's a podcast about the revolution that I think it was Parker that was recommending it, or were you to him? I lose track. It was Parker to you, right?
It was me.
Oh, okay.
Because in Boston, I had never been to Boston before. Every time you turn around, there's some sort of historical something that makes you wonder. I know that that's relevant, but I just don't know what it means. So I got curious and decided that I needed to learn about the American Revolution. There is a podcast that is free, and it is called the American Revolution Podcast. So it's easy to find. And it's like bite-sized pieces of history that is presented in a very interesting and conversational way. And he does a really nice job at the end of summing up the purpose of the entire episode. So just in case you zoned out for a minute, which tends to happen, you pull it together.
I'm intrigued. And Parker, you were looking for a podcast to listen to as well. So
yeah, maybe I'm excited about
you'll
this.
Be sampling.
I really like RevWar stuff. I'm really excited about this.
Oh, that's great. By the way, you could pod us too. We are a podcast as well as a live radio show. Head over to Spotify or Apple and subscribe to the program. We'd love to have you listening there. If not every day, just catch some of those, you know, back episodes or guests that you might have missed for your podcasting when you're not busy streaming. And in terms of streaming, I mentioned last week finishing the Netflix series Four Seasons. And last night we finished The Residence, which is a murder mystery about the White House, that there was a murder committed in the White House and this quirky detective solves it. And I don't, this will be a very small spoiler, but I have to get this out anyway. In it includes congressional hearings about this murder in the White House. And again, it's a comedy. The chair of the committee is Al Franken.
Oh.
And it was just so nice. It was so refreshing to see him presiding over this hearing, asking questions, being funny in the process, and just missing Al Franken for being so smart and compassionate, but in the category of flawed characters, which of course Al Franken is, but the outrage over somebody's flaws versus the lack of outrage over somebody else's flaws is just absolutely frustrating in this country. And so just wanted to say that to see Al Franken on The Residence, I would recommend that show very highly. I don't know if either one of you two have anything new in the streaming area that you're watching. Not you, Kristen. You actually go outside and play. You ride your bike.
She touches grass.
I did.
She touches grass, yes.
I did start. It's a two-part series, I guess, on Steve Martin. Which I'm not a huge Steve Martin fan.
I've seen that. Yes.
But it's really, so I got through the first part. It's really, really good. It's well done. It really made me appreciate him that much more. Yeah.
And I saw it just as I finished his autobiography. Was that the one? Is that Enter Laughing or not? Anyway, it was written many, many years ago. And I just had never gotten around to it till last year. And it's a super good autobiography. And, you know, he's got a complicated family upbringing as well, as other people do. And it shaped who he is now. And then, yeah, seeing the little documentary afterwards was really, really good. You just realize how really good this guy is and how hard he worked at getting to be really good, you know.
I had no idea how very famous he was because he really peaked in the late 70s and 80s. But he was everywhere. I mean, I remember being a little kid and having the headband with the arrows.
Yes, the arrow through the head, right?
And being like 8 years old and knowing what a wild and crazy guy was.
Right.
So, yeah, it was just a huge part of my childhood, and it really penetrated the culture, American culture. So, yeah, definitely worth watching.
Yeah, definitely want to recommend that to folks. Let's do a little sports at 7:18 because it's such a happy story to pass along. Brandon Woodruff is back. I mean, Brandon Woodruff hadn't pitched since September 23rd of 2023. Coincidentally, in Miami, where the Brewers were over the weekend when he went back to the pitching mound after shoulder surgery. And what an outing. Perfect through the first inning, through the second inning, six up, six down. In all, he went six innings, so that'd be 18 outs. He only faced 20 batters, two over the minimum, and those were both hits by the same one player. All in all, he had Jackson Churio hitting a home run and driving in all three runs, as the Brewers beat the Miami Marlins on Sunday. Final score was 3-1 to take two out of three there and to split the road trip between Miami and New York. In Woodruff's six innings, eight strikeouts, no walks, and then the two hits as well. So the Brewers are now at home. They will play the LA Dodgers for this evening, tomorrow evening, and Wednesday afternoon. And then a weekend series at home against the Washington Nationals. And then next week is the All-Star break. So game one of the Brewers-Dodgers series at American Family Field. Pre-game begins at 6:05. on several Civic Media stations. Head over to the website to learn more and catch the Brewers now with Brandon Woodruff back on the mound as they head into the second half of the season. From the heart of America's up north, live on Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great-tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the Buzz of the North, WBZH. I'm Joel Carney, and here's some information on what's going on in the Hayward area today. All right, today we are going to chat a little Hayward area weather, and we have Civic Meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who's going to be joining us all this week to talk weather. Brittany, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking time to share weather knowledge, and we're going to cover all different aspects of Hayward area weather here over the next 3 or 4 days here leading up to the weekend. But let's talk a little bit about why Hayward is cold. I know that sounds kind of dumb. Why is Hayward colder than Madison? We think, well, north is cold, south is warm. But why is that? What's the meteorological reason why Hayward is always 10 degrees colder than Madison?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things working on you guys. So, I mean, obviously, yeah, you're further north than Madison is, you know. You've also got different elevation points, too, where the colder air settles down in those lake areas and the swampy areas. You also get a little bit more fog as well. And some things, you know, you've got Lake Superior kind of controlling your weather. You've also got the systems rolling out of Minnesota at you there. And then you've got stuff from southern areas that want to push up. So you've got a big mixture kind of going on right between the Great Lakes. So some definitely, unique points going on. So first things first, right? In winter, Lake Superior, you're going to get that lake effect snow. you're getting more cloud cover because the winds are usually coming out of the northwest.
Yeah.
You're stuck under those overcast clouds, that kind of stuff. But of course, you know, spring and fall, those transitional seasons, they're a little bit longer than the rest of the state. I mean, Madison area, they kind of get a summer and a winter. They don't really have too much of a transitional where we still drop to those freezing marks, you know, in those early AMs with the frost. We'll get colder first in the springs, I mean, in the falls, and we'll last colder longer in the springs. So we've got that to deal with too. Plus in summer, we've got the warmth that kind of moves right through the Midwest into the plains. And then we get those systems that kind of push it into the western parts of the state. So we're getting the warmer temperatures too, and we're far enough away from the water of Lake Superior that we're not stuck where it kind of cools you down a little bit in the summer. So we're actually feeling those air temperatures. We get those storms rolling in from Minnesota. Of course, with more forests and more trees and more woods, we get more damage from storms. And again, back to the terrain,
yeah,
hilly. You know, we have those flooding events and they're going down the hills and you're getting more flooding in the lower lying areas.
And I would guess that with everything going on, you mentioned the forest and we got Lake Superior going on up there versus some other parts of the country where it's kind of, you know, flat. You can see the storm coming. There's not much in the way, maybe a barn or two. But here there's a lot of deflecting, I guess. Is that a good way maybe to describe it?
Yes, that's a perfect way to describe it. I mean, sometimes those winds off the lake are cold or they're warmer and they're changing the weather systems. They're pushing them away or they're increasing them. I've seen them get enhanced off of the lake effect winds too. So we've got a lot going on, like you said.
Yeah. So for those of us who have lived here this long, we obviously know what's coming. But for those, I can tell you firsthand experience, I've talked to people who moved here and a year later, they're like, you know what? I'm out of here. because we have some of the most drastic weather changes, not just only temperature day to day, but other variances too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, oh, goodness. Well, you know, the whole thing too with Wisconsin, it's kind of interesting. Like, we're becoming more and more of Tornado Alley. It's starting to shift a little bit more north and east, and that's including Hayward area, right? So we're kind of getting in on what the Midwest has really seen, and we're seeing more storms. And like you mentioned, the woods, you can't really see them coming. It's not the plains. They're getting the crazy winds. We still get those too off of Lake Superior. They still make their way down to the Hayward area, but yeah, we've just got a mixture of everything from snowstorms to ice storms to crazy winds. Straight line wind storms, derechos are huge weather events here as well. And then, you know, the severe weather too.
Yeah, we'll talk more about severe weather in our get together tomorrow. I always have this discussion with my wife about what major weather event could really disrupt what we're doing in here. And we always throw out tornado because that's always a probability. You know, what if we got 7 feet of snow? Like they do in the tips of Colorado. What if we got 10 inches of rain, which doesn't happen very often, but did a few summers ago? I always think about those extreme weather conditions, which we don't get that much here other than 50 below, right?
I would say Hayward's pretty tough. You get some extreme weather. you know, like you said, the severe storms, the crazy winter weather that we get, the ice now because our temperatures are getting a little bit warmer out there, especially at night. We're getting more mixture events too. And one of the things that really worries me about the Hayward area is the possibility of heavy rain, flooding events. I mean, I've seen a lot of flooding going on in that area. You know, roads washed out, culverts gone, basements flooded, right? Just over and over again. It's like 2016, 2019, you know, if it goes on and on, I think 2014 that happened too. So the thing that Hayward is built on top of a swamp, pretty much of underground rivers. So the water table is already really high in that area. So if we're going to see more and more frequent storms with more rainfall, more intensity,
yeah,
that's going to become more of a risk. And that's what worries me the most, especially with these insurance companies and the sure. fact that kind of climate changing and coverage and underwriting things and stuff like that.
All right. Good to live in a swamp. That's why I like the movie Shrek. So we're going to have more with Brittany tomorrow. We're going to focus in a little bit more on severe weather. So we are going to chat with Brittany again tomorrow. Continue our weather discussion through the week right here on WBZH. You've been listening to the WBZH Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date on everything going on in the Hayward area, head over to our website at wbzh.fm. and subscribe to our newsletter. Coming up after local news and information, my colleague Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Joel Carney. This is The Buzz of the North. It's 729.
What are you doing out there?
Come on!
I saw you at the game the other night. Yeah, you. Up there getting mad, acting like we're all out there making a million a game. But let me be real with you. This isn't the pros. It's school sports, and it's a game, our game. So please, let us play.
School sports fans, remember, when you cheer for your team, make noise for the right reasons. This message presented by the NFHS and the NIAAA.
And all student athletes in Wisconsin.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. New data shows more Wisconsin residents have been suffering from liver issues related to excessive alcohol consumption over recent years. According to a recent study, the number of Wisconsin residents who died as a result of one of the most common alcohol-related liver diseases rose from about 330 in 2019 to nearly 450 in 2023. The data also found that alcohol-related liver diseases leading to death are becoming increasingly common in women and younger people between the ages of 25 and 44. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin State Legislature officially passed a new biennial budget in the early hours of Thursday morning. The newly approved budget covers over $111 billion in spending over the next 2 years, including increased funding for the child care industry and universities of Wisconsin. The budget also includes a roughly $1.4 billion tax cut targeting the middle class. Governor Evers and lawmakers rushed to complete the budget process to avoid complications with Medicaid funding under the federal budget bill. An Ashland-based construction company has filed a lawsuit against the City of Rice Lake and Rice Lake Utilities Commission regarding the contract for a water main replacement project. According to the lawsuit, M. Jolma was one of six companies to bid on the project in May. Company officials say they submitted the lowest bid at just under $500,000, but the contract was awarded to a Cumberland company with a bid that was about $1,500 higher. The project is currently scheduled to get started by early August. Burnett County officials are advising residents of a boat landing closure in Oakland Township. According to a press release, the Devil's Lake boat landing will be closed for about 45 days, beginning on July 21st. The closure is part of a reconstruction project, which will see the installation of a new boat ramp, the replacement of the aging restroom building, and the repavement of the driveway. County officials also say the project will force them to partially close the parking lot area from July 16th to July 20th to set up the necessary equipment for the project. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Devil Wears Prada is coming back, but not every cast member will return. The production started last week on Prada 2. Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, and Stanley Tucci are all back. Adrian Grenier, however, will not be back as Nate Cooper in the sequel. He played Anne Hathaway's love interest and a short order cook in the first film. Grenier's claim to fame is, of course, the show Entourage, but he has not done much since. In other casting news, actor Kenneth Branagh will join the production as Meryl Streep's character, Miranda Priestley's husband. There's a new action comedy that might be worth a look. Heads of State tells the story of the UK Prime Minister, played by Idris Elba, and the United States President, played by John Cena, which seems more realistic than it's ever been. The two characters butt heads but have to team up to overthrow a global plot that threatens freedom. The film is receiving a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes and an 85% audience score and can be streamed on Amazon Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high today right around 80. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Our low 59. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with again a few more scattered showers and thunderstorms at a high near 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Tomorrow on the program, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area on the new state budget. And in a sec, I'll talk about that as well. The discordant Democrats, the disheartened daycare providers, the exasperated educators, and of course, everybody waiting to hear if it'll be a case of two-term Tony or three. Will he run for re-election or not? Dan Schaefer clearly has some feelings about this, re-upping his column again on why he believes Governor Evers should not run for a third term. And there are some Democrats who feel like the governor did not expend enough political capital in this budget process. We'll see if we agree or disagree when we talk to Dan tomorrow, and I'll give a little preview coming up here in a couple of moments. First on the text line, talking about the Brewers playing the Dodgers this weekend. I'm kind of embarrassed to say I have been a baseball fan all my life, Parker, and I guess I just never thought about how the LA Dodgers got their name. Obviously, back from their time in Brooklyn when they were the Brooklyn Dodgers. Yeah. And leave it to Jim in Brookfield comes up on the text line and says, "Hello, Pat. I just learned from my baseball encyclopedia nephew over the fourth that the LA Dodgers got their name in Brooklyn from dodging trolley cars."
Yeah.
They were Dodgers that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the most earth-shaking thing, but it's nice to know that now in my 60s, I can go, oh, today I learned.
Yeah, the more you know.
The more you know. Da, da,
da, da. I didn't know that, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow. I have to think maybe I heard it at one point, and it just didn't sink in.
I'm sure. But, yeah, that's one of those things that you definitely hear once and go, ah, cool.
But then when they change cities, it's like, okay, so they come to Los Angeles. Yeah, I don't know what L.A. had for a trolley system. It's kind of like when the New Orleans Lakers, Jazz moved to Utah and became the Utah Jazz. Like,
yeah.
What?
Or like
what?
The Lakers when they're in Minnesota and then they moved to L.A.
Yeah, the Lakers leaving Minneapolis, right. I mean, at least when the Hartford Whalers hockey team went to Carolina, they changed it to the Carolina Hurricane.
Yeah.
That makes a little bit more sense. So,
that's true. Yeah. I'm into that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things I wanted to get into as well, we'll come back to the state budget in a moment, but first back over to the federal side of things because, well, essentially we now return you to your regularly scheduled trade war already in progress because you might recall that Wednesday was a deadline given back in April by President Donald Trump to have America's trading partners, friend and foe alike, come to him and reach deals, or he was going to impose these strict tariffs that he said were going to bring manufacturing back to our shores. So he announced these steep tariffs. The markets plunged. He said, well, I'm going to give it 90 days. He was greeted as doing everybody some kind of a favor for putting the gun down. And now we're coming up on the 90 days where at last check, there are concepts of a plan. There are concepts of a trade deal with the UK and Vietnam. And I believe that's it. I think that's the list. I'm not expecting 88 more countries to work out deals. And so the headline in the New York Times says Trump keeps foreign countries on edge as tariff deadline nears. The president is again threatening higher tariff rates on a dozen foreign nations as a deadline elapses this week for making trade deals. Well, again, it's putting all of the, it's putting all the credit on Trump. Like, he's the one keeping foreign countries on edge. It's Trump introducing chaos. That's what he's doing. He's not keeping people on edge. He is a threat to the global economy. I mean, we've already seen how the American recovery, which was the best in the world post-pandemic, has come to a screeching halt. The economy grew smaller in the last quarter, in the last quarterly report. And if it grew smaller in this next quarterly report, that's the definition of a recession, that we may be in a recession right now, thanks to the economic uncertainty that Donald Trump put in, all of the many thousands upon thousands of layoffs of government workers, the layoffs that resulted from the uncertainty of these trade deals. And yet here everybody is watching to see what Trump will do this week. And look, either he's going to, again, make up something like out of the goodness of my heart, I'm going to extend this for another 6 months or something, and people are going to somehow give him credit for it. Or he's going to impose these steep tariffs, and we're going to find a lot of emptier shelves later this year when people are going Christmas shopping, for example. Or he backs down entirely and says that he made his point because we want to see more taco memes. Trump always chickens out. And again, I thought enough people saw through this in his first go-round in office that he's all bluster until he's not. And then when he actually does carry through on something, it is almost always harmful. I mean, unless you're a wealthy person who's about to get immense tax breaks at the expense of everybody else, there's not much else you can point to say that Donald Trump did this thing right economically that benefited middle-class Americans. It's just not there. The people who like him like the bluster. They like the attitude. They like that he hates the same people that they hate, or at least they can all blame the same people. But not everybody, of course, is amused by this, and that's why Elon Musk, who's no longer Trump's bestie, is talking about starting a new third party. We'll talk about that in the third hour of the program coming up here. But to keep things on the federal and the state budget bills, let's come back to the state one for a moment, because as I mentioned, Dan Schaefer and other commenters on Facebook have expressed their displeasure with what the state budget bill ultimately did and how it ultimately came down. Now, again, as a refresher, the budget will cut taxes by $1.3 billion. It will spend hundreds of millions on building projects at the UW system. It does expand some Medicaid funding for now because, again, the Trump bill will eventually restrict it. Increases funding for special education. It funds some new child care programs, but does not provide nearly the direct support to daycare providers that they would like. There's an expansion of the second lowest tax bracket. There's the exemption of some retirement income from taxation, eliminates the residential utility sales tax, and creates a film tax credit. It will cost a little bit more to get a driver's license, buy license plates, or title a vehicle. And in his latest column, Dan Schaefer asks if it was all enough. Did Evers and Democrats press hard enough for their newfound leverage? And that leverage came because there were a handful of Republicans who had already said they were not going to support what the Joint Finance Committee was coming up with because they wanted deeper cuts. And we'll never know how they would have voted because we know on the federal side, Ron Johnson caved. Ron Johnson said this thing is going to drive the debt too high. But then he caved and went along with it anyway. And we'll never know if those two or three state senators would have done the same thing because instead, legislative Republicans turned to state Senate Democrats and negotiated with them for things that would attract enough Democratic votes to pass a budget. Now, I'm going to admit, I'm still a little surprised that they did that. I was pretty well convinced that Republicans were going to choose having no state budget because there wasn't enough of a downside for them. You see, in Wisconsin, state government doesn't shut down if there's no budget. You know, the previous budget just plods along. You can't have that at the federal level. At the federal level, there is a government shutdown. And Republicans have never come out ahead after a government shutdown. To them, the party of small government nowadays means the party of no government. And the American people don't want that. They still want a basic level of services. We can disagree on whether they're spending too much on this or that, but you don't cut out all services entirely in the form of a government shutdown. And Republicans have had to learn that the hard way at the federal level. But at the state level, I didn't see nearly the level of political risk for Republicans. I mean, even if this bill hadn't passed last week, yeah, there would not be $1.3 billion in tax cuts. But that money would still be sitting there in surplus and would sit there until after next year's gubernatorial election, when Republicans might have a Republican governor and a Republican legislature, and they could give $3 or $4 billion back in tax cuts and not make any investments in schools, the UW system, infrastructure, the environment, healthcare, you name it. But they did make it a bipartisan matter with Governor Evers. They did negotiate details for increases in spending in some areas, like special education. It's just that in the end, based on what I'm seeing over the weekend, there are plenty of people, from progressive activists to childcare providers to Democratic politicians, who believe not nearly enough was done, and there should have been either a veto of the bill or just no vote at all. And again, just the last budget would carry over. And so I'll be curious, talking to those folks this week, what they saw as the potential upside to that. The potential upside of having no budget at all, rather than a budget that had some good things, but not all of the things that they wanted. And how does that affect Governor Evers' decision on whether to run for a third term? Does he hear all of this discord? Does he hear the criticism and believe that it would be best if he passed the torch to somebody else? Does he instead feel like he actually looks like the centrist in the room, and that makes him the strongest candidate for being elected to a third term next year? If Tony Evers decides to run for a third term, how many Democrats, how many progressive activists out there will do the bare minimum of effort because they're not happy with this budget, and they don't feel like he fought hard enough for it? And if that happens and a Republican wins the governor's race next year, who gets the blame? Is it Tony Evers for running, or is it the people that could only follow him or support him half-heartedly? Tom in Hartford on the text line says very simply, Evers should run. And we had that as a question of the week in our Sunday newsletter a couple weeks back, you know, whether Evers should run for another term or not. And as I noted in the follow-up article, those were some of the most passionate answers we've ever received to a question to our audience on both sides. Adamant that Tony Evers is far and away the best hope for Democrats, has the best record, has done the most for Democrats, and others who say he's done too little, that he needs to, again, pass the torch, that we need somebody who's more of a fighter. Even if that fight does or doesn't lead to the progress that you want, I don't know. Do some people just want to fight for the sake of a fight, or because they know it can be productive? These are the things that I'm very curious to talk to people about this week and in all of the time leading up to and after Governor Evers' decision to run for a third term or not. So for more about that, you're going to want to tune into tomorrow's conversation with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. We will get into it during our 8:30 half hour tomorrow. A local break is next for some of you. The rest will come back here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North is now your home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
And he struck him out swinging. Went right back to that sinker and strikes out Iglesias to strand the Mets with the bases loaded.
The Buzz of the North.
Fly ball, right field. It is deep. It is gone! We are tied in the eighth inning on the second homer of the night from Jackson Churio.
Milwaukee Brewer baseball on 96.9 WBZH. The Buzz of the North.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Thomas Jefferson is credited with most of the text of the Declaration of Independence, but the independence part came from a Virginian named Richard Henry Lee on June 7, 1776. The First Continental Congress sent a list of grievances in 1774 to King George III, among them the loss of their rights under English law, the occupation by British forces in peacetime, and the oppressive Coercive Acts passed by Parliament to shut down colonial unrest. The King and Parliament didn't respond other than to pass more restrictive laws. By mid-May 1776, 8 colonies supported independence, including Virginia, which directed its delegates to support independence at the Second Continental Congress. Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee, on June 7th, presented his resolution for independence to the Congress in Philadelphia, which tabled action until July 2nd. In the interim, Thomas Jefferson, with light editing by Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, crafted a statement which would become the Declaration of Independence, which included Richard Henry Lee's Independence Resolution word for word. Resolved that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved. Read the full Declaration of Independence at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Krylo on the Buzz of the North, WBZH. Now, let's talk a little bit about what's going on around the Hayward area. Welcome in on a Monday morning. Get used to these voices here because we're going to be joining you in the 7 o'clock hour quite a bit here, weekdays, talking a little Hayward, talking a little fishing. We've got some segments coming up with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We're going to be talking about Hayward weather. We're going to be talking about dive bars in northern Wisconsin. There'll be a lot of great local stuff. Joel Karnick here.
Who's Joel?
Greg Gunderson.
Hello.
How you doing?
Doing well. Happy Hayward Monday. Yeah. Is it happy Monday? It's Monday.
Happy Hayward Monday, sure.
It's not happy Monday, but it's Monday. I'll commit to that.
All right. You'll hear Greg Gunderson over on Muskie Country 101 in the afternoons from 3 to 7. But we're going to do some segments just talking about life in the Northwoods. Today we're going to just talk a little bit about fishing. Fishing, of course, huge part of living in northern Wisconsin. Obviously, the muskie is big here in Hayward, but just fishing in general, Gray, most people are not the average tournament fisher people.
No.
We just like to go out and drop a line, right?
The average tournament fisherman, I don't think is a phrase that's not like a self-contained phrase, because tournament fishermen are not average, and I say that in the most complimentary way possible. But I mean, you watch a fishing show and you see these videos of guys with 8 rods, and I laugh because when I go out with my dad, or I go out with my brother, or I go out with my family members who taught me how to fish, I will put on a lot of rods, especially if I'm fishing bass or if I'm fishing northern, something slightly more aggressive depending on the water temperature or the season, I'm not afraid to put a snap on my line, which allows me to swap lures really quickly. And my dad, my brother, everybody who doesn't do that, who's got to cut it off and retie, they make fun of me for that. They're thinking, why are you changing lures that fast? And then we all three will sit down and we'll watch Bassmaster TV and tournaments and classics and stuff where these guys have 10 rods. They'll throw three casts, and if they don't get a bite, they switch rods to one with a different bait. So it's like there's a whole other level to the addiction that I'm chasing that I haven't touched yet. So I refuse to let myself be bothered by that.
See, you've got that level of it. Then you have me. Where when I go fishing, my number one concern is not, number one, don't hurt myself or anyone around me if I've got something with a hook on it, which obviously you should. And number two is just make it I'm out for a good experience. I don't want to hook a log. I don't want to launch into a shoreline, into a tree. I don't want to lose anything. Is that setting the bar a little low when I fish?
Not necessarily. I think that's a natural way to go about it. But, you know, to be honest, I only think I'm so far past that, even with a bit more experience that I might have, just because that's the world I grew up in. For reference, I've grown up around fishing for all of my 30 some years, but it really gelled for me when I was lucky enough to wind up working at St. Croix in Park Falls for a stretch in the recent past. And
now you're talking fishing. Yeah,
that was, I was taking phone calls for people in most cases who either had broken rods that they needed to have repaired or they had questions in general. You know, I was the guy at the other end of the phone number you found at the bottom of the website. So there were a lot of general product knowledge questions. And for me, it was impossible to learn the answers to those questions. You know, what's the difference between an MLXF and an MF, for example? Mm-hmm. You know, what is medium light extra
careful
fast?
With
what
that.
Do those, yeah, what do those words mean? And is it appropriate to talk about on radio? First of all, yes, to the uninitiated. But by the time I learned what those answers were, I thought, okay, now I want to practice this, you know? Yeah. I know that a medium light and a medium have different offerings, but why do I care unless I give it a shot? And of course, they had a healthy employee discount that made it possible. So I really fell in love with it then. I mean, like, it was funny. You mentioned we were talking about fishing today, and we've only got a few minutes to do it. So I'm thinking, man, what can I focus on? And honestly, I narrowed it down to one thing. There's one bait that I've been using this year to great success, and I thought I could probably fill 7 minutes just talking about the vibrating jig.
See, I love... And I fish as a young kid, but never avidly. It usually leads to something maybe your dad or your parents did. My dad, he enjoyed fishing, but he wasn't an avid fisherman. That's what I am.
Okay.
I enjoy fishing, not an avid fisherman. But I love an opportunity to be on a pontoon boat or in a fishing boat with someone who is a good fisherman.
Yes.
Because I'm just like, all right, teach me something here. Teach me, you know, a guy years ago taught me how to jump that frog across the top of the water, you know, to get the big fish to roll on it. Just little things like that I just love. And I think people who are really good fishermen should use that opportunity when they have somebody with them, say, hey, you want me to teach you something? Sure. Let's learn a little something about fishing. Let's make you a better fisher person, even if you're just going after the bluegills.
Well, that was actually what stood out to me when you mentioned that one of your primary concerns is not losing gear or hitting people. I got a little lost in the weeds because I'm me, but what I was originally going to respond with was that I'm only just past that point, even with a little bit more time under my belt and more regular fishing experiences. For reference, I haven't been going out much this year because it's been a busier year here in the radio business, keeping me away from things. But last year, the year before, I was fishing just about every day in the summer. And even still, my internal response when you said you're worried about hitting things is, yeah, but it's going to happen. It's going to, you're going to, that moment you're going to, what you're going to do most likely, if you ask me, is you're going to walk up underneath a tree branch that you think is high enough above your head.
There you go.
And then you're going to learn the hard way how high you throw your bait when you cast it, when you lose it to that branch. But no, it's inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable. And I love it because I can guarantee you that a million people have tried fishing thousands of different ways, gotten similar results, learned the same lessons, and had so much fun both in that process and in realizing all the silly things they did in the process. Like every step, especially if you go back and review and laugh at yourself, I mean, that's life. If you're willing to laugh at yourself, it's going to go better. But fishing especially, if you don't go out with a guide or your grandpa's not there to tell you all of the world wisdom, you're going to do some really silly stuff.
Yep. It's part of what we do in the Northwoods, whether it's casually or whether you do it every day or do it tournaments. It's part of our heritage here in the Northwoods. We'll have more segments on fishing later in the week. We're going to talk a little bit more about some events coming up, including the Spooner Rodeo, which is coming up. You've been listening to the Buzz of the North's local talk. Talk about stuff and life here in the Hayward and surrounding areas. You can listen to us at WBZH.FM. You can always listen to us on the Civic Media app. Download that through your Android or iPhone Play Store. Click on the Buzz of the North and you can listen anytime. More with my colleague Pat Kreitlow coming up after the top of the hour on the Buzz of the North.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Fast-moving floodwaters in Texas over the weekend are responsible for at least 80 deaths, according to emergency officials there, and many are still missing. ABC's Matt Gutman is in Kerrville, Texas.
Rescuers growing desperate to find the missing and recover those swept away by the historic flash floods that left over 40 missing. In the pre-dawn hours of July 4th, waters rising 26 feet in less than an hour. Many still asleep. The ground dried by drought acted like concrete, sending the water rushing straight into river basins.
More rain is in the forecast for later today. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be in Washington this evening, set for a meeting with President Trump at the White House. The two leaders are expected to discuss a potential ceasefire proposal amid Israel's ongoing war in Gaza. This will also mark the first time Trump and Netanyahu have met since the U.S. struck three of Iran's nuclear facilities. This is ABC.